Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Anybody in here got anything to thank him for? Take a moment and take a moment and share it with somebody. Just one thing. Hallelujah. He maybe kept you over the holidays from having a head-on collision. Maybe he healed your body. Maybe blessed you with some finance. But turn to somebody and just share it with them.
Today, we are talking about being faithful in adversity, coming from Nehemiah 6, 1 and 19. You know, God's given task can be completed with confidence and resolve because God has conquered all obstacles to work. Here, they're talking about Sanballat, Sanballat, and Gesture sent messages. Come! Let's meet together in the village of one on Ona Valley. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same proposal and I gave them the same reply. Today we're going to be talking about Nehemiah, coming from Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, 1 through the 19th verse. Be faithful in adversity. And you know, as I was reading this chapter on Nehemiah, which is a good chapter, which I got the name God gave me from my ministry from Nehemiah. You know, it had been said that a leader must have the heart of a warrior, the mind of a scholar, the eyes of an eagle, and the head of a crocodile. You know, a Christian leader add another quality to the list, the faith of a prophet. You know, indeed, it's a leader's deep faith in God that make the other qualities truly noble. You know, servant leaders lead from the front, not from behind. You know, as a result, they often find the first ones to feel the brunt of an assault. You know, the early stage attack may come in the form of verbal onslaught. You've been through that, hurtful gossip, smear tactics, or outright lies. You know, leaders are sometimes blamed for bad things they didn't do and criticized for good things they tried to do. You know, too often they are misquoted, misunderstood, and never given an opportunity to set the record straight. Today I ask you, what discouraged you more? Unexpected private criticism from a friend or unfair public criticism from an opponent? Think about that. You know, as a servant leader, Nehemiah had to deal with some underhand tactics by opponents. You've went through that. I know you have. Some of you all that's listening today. Jealous official opposed his effort to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. However, Nehemiah's deep faith in God kept him and the workers on track. That means when God have a work for you to do, you have to do the work that have been assigned, God have assigned for you to do. You can't let anybody pull you down off the wall on things God have you doing. You know, since your humility falls in the Garden of Eden, God's kingdom work had been done in a hostile environment. Jesus Christ came into the world he created, but that world, for the most part, didn't recognize or receive him. You know, both the Old and the New Testament, despite the life of God's people as one of daily struggles against a powerful enemy. You know, the enemy of God's people in Nehemiah days was a various background. You know, some groups, the people of Ammon, Arabia, and Ashdod, for example, had lived in the area surrounding Judah for centuries. You know, other groups, the people of Samaria, for example, had been transplanted into the area as captive when Israel fell as a result of their rebellious against God. You know, when you think about that, they were determined to do whatever they could to sabotage the work of God's people. How many people have you met that have tried to sabotage the work of God? When someone is doing things for God, somebody's going to always try to come up and sabotage it. You know, consequently, here in Nehemiah, he found himself as a primary target of their verbal abuse, their criticism, their slander, and their threats. Think about it. Powerful enemy opposed to Jews' wall-building project from the start. Sanballat and Tobit first appear in the text in Nehemiah 2 and 10. And Geshem first appeared with the two men in 2 and 19. Sanballat is identified in 2:10 as a Horonite, which probably referred to an area about 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. You know, when you think about the tribal's ruler maintained their power and wealth by making it their business to know everything that happened around them. Do you do that? They learned the who, the what, the when, the where, and why of a potential rival. I think I say that again. I'm going to give you all the W's. You're going to learn who. Who they are, what they're all about, when it's occur, where it's going to occur at, and why are you doing it? If need be, they acted swift and devised to destroy the precept threat. Thus, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem learned that the wall in Jerusalem was all but completed, they sprang into action. In their mind, it restored Jewish people, and they restored Jerusalem, spared nothing but trouble for the entire region. You know, stopping the project meant stopping Nehemiah, which was the leader of God's people. So they sent Nehemiah an invitation to meet together with them, the power broken in the region, at a place not far from the Mediterranean coast. You know, some leaders might have jumped at an invitation to meet with esteemed ruler, but not Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't fooled. He knew from past experience with these men and their selection of out-of-the-way meeting places that they intended to harm him. Just think, put yourself in Nehemiah's place for a moment. What runs through your mind when you realize that someone wants to harm you simply because you are doing God's work? I know a lot of you all have went through that in the body of Christ. When you're doing something and they're not doing it, they're going to try everything, threats, slander, gossip, backbiting, everything to keep you. But you got to stay on your post. You can't let go. You know, in his mind, which was Nehemiah, as well as in his response to Sanballat and Geshem, Nehemiah put priorities on the great work he was involved in. This wasn't a boast on his leadership, but rather a statement of the project's importance. Here, Nehemiah was not distracted or deterred from the priorities of his calling. Four times the opponent sent an invitation. Four times Nehemiah returned the same reply. The work was too finish line was too close to stop now. So think about it. How many opponents have sent you an invitation or sent you a word, and you returned the word back that you would not be able to come to that beck and call, that you had a mission that you had to complete? There's so many things in the body of Christ God have given different ones to do, but they don't complete it. They run here, they run there, they run there, they do this, they do that. But you, when God give you a mission, a destiny, and a plan, and he wants you to go ahead and work in doing what he have called you to do. He don't want you to drop it. Every time somebody call, you drop. If you was reading your Bible and the phone rang, it was emergency. We can see it now, may have dare emergency. But when God got you on a task, God come first. Do what God have called you to do. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. He was doing what God had called him to do. And Sanballat ramped up the pressure with a new tactic. He sent an open or an unsealed letter to Nehemiah by a messenger. And this tactic would be constructed as an insult because the letter contents would be read publicly by anybody that opened it up. You know, the aim was not only to insult Nehemiah, but also to spread rumors about him regarding his personal ambition. The letter stated two unfounded accusations. First, it accused Nehemiah and the Jews of planning to revolt against the Persian emperor, the empire. Geshem, the Araban, was evidence to sofer this accusation. Second, the letter charged that Nehemiah intended to become the Jewish new king. You know, it further said that Nehemiah had prophets standing by in Jerusalem who was ready to declare his kingship. You know, this letter clinch was not so veiled, threatening that the Persian king would hear about the charge. At the very least, the king would recall his cupbearer to Susa to answer the accusation. You know, so Nehemiah was faced with a hard choice, either agree to meet with his opponents or face a recall and perhaps worse for the king of Persia. You know, here Nehemiah responded boldly. Probably he responded in the same manner that he was accused. That is, he sent an open reply by means of the messenger. In any case, Nehemiah denied the rumors and confronted his accusers with their true motives. They were, in effect, trying to terrorize God's leader and God's people, and thus was attempted to sabotage the work of God's kingdom. I know you've run across some people like that. You know, the kind of boldness Nehemiah displayed came as a result of his deep faith in the Lord. It came as he communed with God in prayer, asking for the strength that only God can give, again and again. Nehemiah molded the kind of prayers life needed by to boast his courage in the midst of threat and false accusations. He prayed for strength to focus on the great work of God's kingdom rather than on his personal fear. Just think about that a moment. What role do faith and prayer play in your effort to serve Christ? I want you to ponder on that a little while. You know, the next plot of Nehemiah's accuser involved a Jewish prophet named Shemaiah. Not all Jewish citizens were in favor of building project. And this project seemed to have been one of the naysayers. Sanballat and Tobiah hired him to frighten Nehemiah into violating God's law concerning the temple. Shemaiah was restricted to his house, which probably means that he had confined himself to give Nehemiah the impression that the two of them were in immediate danger. But you know, Shemaiah suggests that they hide inside the temple until the danger passed. To do so, however, would mean that Nehemiah would be disgraced by going where only priests were allowed. He would be labeled a coward. My. I hope some of you have read the story of Nehemiah. That way you can get a good concept of what I'm talking about today. You know, again, Nehemiah saw through the ruin. The phrase "should a man like me mean" that Nehemiah understood and accepted his responsibility as a leader. You know, a true captain doesn't abandon the ship when storms threaten. Neither does a godly leader abandon the work of God's kingdom out of personal fear. Nehemiah's faith and sense of responsibility prevented him from abandoning his post, especially to run and hide in the temple. He realized that Shemash wasn't speaking from God, but was only a high conspirator. My. You know, here again, Nehemiah showed himself to be a man of prayer. Don't fail to appreciate the context situation. He was being lied about, like a lot of you all are, lied to, like a lot of you all are, and threatened by a host of individuals. You know, the natural reaction would have been to lash out in revenge. But Nehemiah's prayer, leaving his feeling of vengeance with God, he did place rock-solid faith and noble leadership qualities. My. You know, here, Nehemiah faced opposition because of his obedience to God. He is not alone in facing opposition. You know, how would you word the life principle identified by Peter and experienced by Nehemiah? Do the principles identified give the believers courage to face opposition on account of their obedience to God? You know, action that arrive, you know, despite opposition, harassment, and attacks through the entire project, Nehemiah and the community of faith rebuilt the mass stone wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. You know, I'm going to play some music, have a call coming in.
Victory and Praise Conference, put your hands together for Miss Miranda Curtis. Show us some love in here. Listen.
Greater than all the waters, river, God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and our topic today, be faithful in adversity, coming from Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, 1 through 19. You know, I would ask y'all today, people who seek to be obedient to God aren't immune for opposition. Faith and a consistent prayer life helps the believer discern true and false motives in oneself and in others. They also help the believer stay focused on a God-given task for his honor. You know, what God-given task have you worked out that was in danger of being derailed? Think about that. And what action did you take or do you need to take now to get that task back on track? And how can you find support from within your Bible study group or to remain on track? Today, on your prayer journal, list the tasks you must complete and how you can trust God to help you complete the task identified, and how you can give honor to God for each task you complete. Just think about it, what Nehemiah went through building the wall. He came through opposition. He came through harassment. He came with attacks throughout the entire project. How many times we as bone buck faced believers have come in adversity in our life on something God have told us to do? We're going to be talked about, ridiculed, because the person feared that in what God told you to do. But you know what God told you to do. When God tell you to do something, it's going to work out. But you're going to have opposition sometime. You're going to run into some problems. But just remember, God will give you what you need, when you need it, and how you need it to fulfill the task he have given to you. So today, some of our topics, some of our words we use was faithful. You got to be faithful. Adversity, and the task. Don't forget those words. Think about your faith and your prayer in being faithful in adversity. And that's our topic for today. We hope you enjoyed it, and we want you to come back next week, and we'll be talking about another exciting topic. We did something short today, but we hope you got something out of Nehemiah. And he showed himself to be a man of prayer. Don't fail to up his prayer in the awful situation he was in. Just think about the situation you're in right now, or you're going into a situation. Just read Nehemiah, and I think you would change your insight on a lot of stuff. When you see what he went through, the oppositions he went through, for him to be obedient to God and to fulfill what God had given him to do. Think about the principle identified giving believers courage to face opposition on account of their obedience to God. And we have to be obedient to God. When God gives us a commission, a destiny, and a vision, he wants us to work on it. He don't mean 50 years from now, if he's giving it to you not to start doing it, that's what you start doing. He's going to help you little by little. He's going to take you through each step. So today, our topic, be faithful in adversity. Even when you've been falsely accused, don't give up. Keep on the task. Because if he would have given up, the wall would have never have gotten built. And just remember, the wall was completed in 52 days on the 21st day of the month. When all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nation was intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. That means when God gives you a task, it's going to be accomplished when it's God's task. But if it ain't by God, it won't get completed. But when God gives you something, it will be completed. So today, I thank you all for listening, those that may come in the archive later. If not, stay tuned. Stay tuned to next week for another broadcast from Joy and Peace. And as I always say, if I had the tentacle as an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you and tell you just how much I love you. I want you to have a rest and a peaceful day today in the Lord. Bye-bye.